What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Thank you so much for coming back. If this is your first time here, thanks for showing up. Please click subscribe right there or wherever it is. I don't know which side. I don't know how mirrors work, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. Maybe it's over there. Whatever. Please click it. Let everybody know about the Whiskey Ginger podcast. We really appreciate it. Follow us on the social media. Do all that stuff. Go to AndrewSantino.com if you want to see me live. I'm on the road this entire first half of the year. Right now, this weekend, I'm in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, in freezing cold Canada, bro, where it's negative 10. What's the deal? Come out and see me. Next weekend, I'll be at Denver Comedy Works. Denver, the Mile High City. I loves you, bro. The city that Elway built. I love that spot. What a town. Then the next two dates after that are going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Madison, Wisconsin to close out January. Come out and see me. Go to AndrewSantino.com for all your tickets. Also, there's the Patreon there below us in the description. Please support us. We really appreciate it. We're going to be doing more interactive stuff, live Q&A this month. We're also doing Cheeto Chats where it's one-on-one. I can talk to the Patreon members, exclusive content just for them that you can't get here on this channel. And also, you can get a bunch of merch. You can get merch at AndrewSantino.com now, which I'm excited about. I pulled up with my feet. Look at how good that was. Look at that hat. Look at the Red Rocket hat. That's amazing. Red Rocket. I'm not sure we're going to be able to bring all this stuff on the road because there's a bunch of different beautiful pieces of art that we put up there. So please, go to AndrewSantino.com for tour dates, for merch, for the Patreon, for the Twitter, the Instagram, all the stuff that you need to know is on there. And in the meantime, enjoy the episode.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Who is that creature in the ginger beard?
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. It's Mr. Ryan Sickler, Sick Dog, baby.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Dude, I'm so happy that you're here. You showed up. My landscaping guys were here. Sickler was out front fist fighting the gardener.
I got that weed whack.
Wanted to get that weed whack.
You know what I really appreciated about walking up to your home, though, was the smell of the gas, the oil mix.
Yeah.
That two-stroke shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Kicking out of his weed whacker.
Yeah, hell yeah. This is an electric.
Never mind, took me to my summer, yeah.
Did you have to mow your own lawn when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. If we would have had guys like this roll through our neighborhood, they would have got their shit vandalized and everything. That was our summer money. That was our winter money, shoveling sidewalks and all that, but... Back when you had the weed whacker where when the cord would go in, you had to press down on it. Remember
that
one?
You had
to press down and pull that shit out. Then it's fucking your shins up and everything else.
I would always get hurt doing any kind of yard work. Like it's some kind of injury would come from any of that fucking shit, you know? Well, what were your mowing shoes? Did you have, what brand were your mowing shoes? Do you remember?
Probably just some old Adidas or something.
Old Adidas,
like
bro.
Because I played soccer and
I was going to say
Adidas,
old Sambas.
Theodora. Yeah, sure. It was some Sambas. That all green at one point, you know, from the grass and shit.
Is that why you got nice thighs? You got them soccer thighs?
I got good thighs, but I have bad calves. But I got good thighs. I got good defender thighs.
That's like your old partner in crime, Larson. Jay Larson brags about his calves. He says he got the best calves in the country.
He's got
some ham hocks.
He's got some solid calves.
He does, bro.
But the funny thing is, I played soccer all my life. I should have those calves.
Yeah, but no, that's genetics, man. Some people are just born with nice shapely calves.
Yeah, he's got shapely calves.
You ever see like a big dude at the gym or something, like a big dude that lifts, and then you see his legs and they're so pathetic, and you're like, this motherfucker has terrible.
All the time. You got genetics, and you're like, why fuck? I'm not going to make these any bigger.
You're like, bro, you got to work on him a little bit.
Day,
there's a dude that works out of my gym who's jacked, and he's probably in his late 50s. Like, he's older dude, jacked as fuck, phenomenal shape, good looking guy, and his legs are so funny skinny. They're so like tiny skinny. Like his, you know, his calf is the same size as his ankle. Whenever he's doing any kind of workout on his legs, I'm always like, it's never going to help,
it's
man.
Nothing,
he did
bro.
Too many years of up here, you know, too many years at the neck of looking like a fucking top heavy moose. He didn't fuck with the legs. And that's always my dad. When I was in high school, when I first started like really like learning how to lift in high school, he was like, don't skip legs. Everybody skips legs. He's like, don't do that. Especially if you were playing sports.
That's right.
He's like basketball. He's like, you need to have strong legs. Because when you're young, you just want to get a bicep. You know what I mean? Like,
we had this kid in our senior year, and all he did was bench. It's all he did. He was a smaller guy,
too. I was going to say, it's usually shorter guys that bench.
And he had a massive chest. Mm-hmm. He did. But it started to, like, sink in. Like, it was almost like his frame couldn't whole, because he wasn't working anything else around it.
Right.
You know, he wasn't building a proportionate body. He was just building a large chest.
Right.
And that shit doesn't, you know.
It doesn't even out.
It doesn't even out.
It's always funny when I see buff dudes that are also kind of fat. That's always a weird thing to see a dude that, like, he'll eat dog shit food and then just get jacked. So he'll have tons of muscle on top of all this fat, but there's not good definition. It just is a, you're just a strong fat dude.
That's like, like the NFL linemen with these guys with
strong fat.
These
dudes.
Guys, like my watch it with my daughter's brother and stuff, and he'll laugh. Like, look at that fat guy. I'm like, let me tell you something. That fat guy runs a 4.740.
Yeah.
And will dust and is in there all day pushing against that guy.
Yeah.
Pushing against that guy, and he's in there not throwing up. He's playing 16 of those fucking
games. Yeah, just breathing a little heavy sometimes. Yeah. That's all that is. What's up with those Baltimore Ravens? You're a Baltimore fan.
Let
Baltimore.
Me tell you something.
You're done, dude.
I'm 46 years old. I feel like a fucking 15-year-old kid. I've had my sweatshirt on the whole fucking time. This kid, they said they were going to revolutionize offense, offense.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody, even in Baltimore, they were like, okay.
Okay, bro. All right, we'll see.
Okay. He sets the most rushing yards by a quarterback ever. They, the first team in NFL history to average 200 rushing and 200 passing. The first team now in NFL history broke the Patriots' old rushing record.
Right.
And they fucking revolutionized offense in a pass-happy NFL league and went 14-2.
Well, he is a scary specimen.
He is something else.
He's kind of like
Steph Curry.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
He is the hype is real.
Yeah.
And when, so often, people don't know how many, I don't know if people aren't sports fans, so many times the hype guy doesn't turn out to be everything that you wanted them to be.
No.
Usually an injury comes along that devastates them or they just kind of don't really live up to those expectations because the pressure is unbelievable. But holy shit.
Doing that at full speed against adult millionaires paid to take your fucking
to murder
career
you.
Away.
But don't you think that, aren't you scared maybe that his high intensity, his full go all the time is cause for injury?
Every time he moves.
Yeah.
Even I saw Earl Thomas say that on a sideline. They all feel that way.
Well, because it looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's the guy. Every time. He took some unnecessary hits in a couple games, but
you got to be careful when you, I mean.
It used to be my, I always said if I was a GM, I would worry, probably not get a scrambling quarterback. And not just because of injury. When RG3 was killing it in D.C. He played against us. Haloti Ngata cleanly hit him across the middle and hit him so violently that his knee got whiplash. It like just tore everything.
Yeah, his knee just came out of place.
Done.
Yeah.
I worry even more about concussions because if you have a scrambling quarterback, last year our left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, his leg freakishly came up. The heel hit Lamar up under the...
Under his helmet.
Under his helmet.
Yeah, under
they
face mask.
Took him off the field, and he missed quite a few series of plays getting examined just for that. So now if you have a, you know, back in the day, Steve Young's running with 6 concussions.
Yeah, man.
You can't do that shit today. So you're a quarterback. In addition to getting injured that way, to me, the downtime is a bigger deal as well, and I think that's probably more likely a concussion than tearing a knee or something.
For sure. Well,
he's 22. Do you know that
he's a child.
What's his name? Joe, just won a Heisman. Burrows?
Oh,
Burrow
yeah.
or Burrows?
Burrows. Sure. Burrows? Yeah.
He's older than Lamar Jackson. When he takes his first snap as a rookie, Lamar Jackson's got a year and a half and 2 playoff appearances, hopefully a fucking Super Bowl, and he'll be younger than that kid.
God damn.
Yeah.
That's wild. That is wild.
And he's such a good passer. He also led the league in passing touchdowns.
Yeah, he almost did too much too fast. I'm worried. I'm like, slow down.
It reminds me, send this back to you, Chicago guy, because I was a big Bulls fan during that whole run, and especially when Rodman came.
The worm, baby.
I always loved his hustle, and I know he got crazy and everything, but Rodman, the one stat that always impressed me the most about Rodman in that year was he led the league in rebounds while Jordan led in scoring, which means you're not getting a lot of opportunities for missed shots to pull down. And you're leading the league when the guy on your team – imagine if the guys on his team were just 50-50 fucking shooters. He would have crushed that.
Crushed.
He still beat that record when a guy's leading on your team. So I've always thought
he
that was
impressive.
Super impressive.
Well, I mean, the Bulls 90s run team was pure magic and craziness and oddity. It was kind of like what Golden State felt, you know.
Documentary.
I know, I can't wait.
When is that, Tommy?
July 2020.
Oh, it's that long.
Dude, you know what's so funny about that?
I keep seeing the promos.
Last year, I saw the promo, and I was like, hey, what did you see that fucking shit? Yeah,
just seeing people sit down in a chair, like, getting ready to talk and stuff. They're
Touching their chest, being like, all right, are we ready to go?
Yeah.
Two things real fast. One, Rodman, Dennis Rodman, for people that don't know, amazing Detroit Piston, and then, in my opinion, a better Bull. But he dyed his hair crazy colors. If you don't know, you should look it up. You should Google Rodman. But he dyed his hair crazy colors. And I have orange hair. I have already a crazy color hair. And so I would go, my mom took me to a game, and I put coloring in my hair, but nothing would sit because it's so bright and light. So then it just looked like I had dirty hair. I tried to put a bunch of shit. I just looked like I had filthy fucking hair. But I was such a huge fan. He was phenomenal. I mean,
Well, McDonald's had all the cups. Remember, to get cold, they would change colors.
Yes, they would change colors. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, I mean, that era of my life as a kid was so spoiled rotten, filled with so much privilege of sports that we didn't know any better. Like, I just thought everybody had this kind of thing happen to their city. Like, I mean, we knew Jordan was Jordan, but I just assumed that it was, like, such a normal thing to happen to big cities, especially because growing up, as a kid and watching what the Yankees had always done, I was always like, well, that's New York's thing. This is our thing. Right. You know, like, I felt like that was what we deserved. And then now, years later, you know, we've been eating shit for so long now. I'm still a hardcore Bulls fan, but holy shit. It's so hard to have a city that you love other than my Cubbies that won the World Series a couple years ago. It's just every other team has hurt my feelings every year. I'm always like, these dudes can't get it together. I mean, you know. I don't have to tell you.
Yeah, tell me about it. That's why I'm so glad in particular for this football season, because the Orioles suck so bad.
Yeah.
That if the Ravens would have sucked, it would be a full year of nothing to look forward to sports-wise nothing to root for.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Terps are always, you know, they're number three, and then they lose to fucking, you know, Savannah State or some shit, and then now they're fucking
Louisiana Tech or some
that
shit.
Yeah, that kind of shit.
Do you have a bar in LA that you would go to watch games, or a place to go? It got to be at the house.
I'll give a shout out to there's a West Wing, it's called. There's a Ravens group out here, and they're pretty big. I don't go to the bars and watch games. I stay home.
Is there a specific Ravens bar? Do you know about or no?
If it used to be, it might be the Sycamore. It might be Sycamore Tavern.
Yeah,
it might be that.
That could be.
I might be wrong about that, but they did have a specific bar for a while, and I think that might be the one they landed on now. But and I see them around town and stuff, and it'd be fun, but
it's hard.
But I used to, back in the day, I used to go sit at the bar, and then I would drink, eat, whatever, and I'm dropping, you know, $100
easy.
And if they lose, I'm like, what the fuck did I do now?
Could have stayed at the house.
And then I'm like, well, for three games, I could get the fucking Sunday ticket.
Yeah.
Pause it. Take a piss when I want to. I'm not in line. I'm not hearing other people. Yeah. And then I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that changed the game for me.
Yeah, I just stay home. Now I watch the kids and stuff.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. You're family man, too, so that's even harder. Like, there's a new a restaurant up here called Gino's East, a Chicago pizza place. Mm-hmm. They opened one out here. Actually, one of the family members of the original Gino's from Chicago moved out here. Him and his partner opened one. They have it out here, and they do. I went with Jonathan Sadowski. You know him? He's a funny dude, actor. Anyway, he's a Chicago guy, and we went out there, and it was cool to be in a place where all your fans were. Because living here, it's hard.
Yes.
Because, dude, even if I was a diehard Dodger fan, diehard Laker fan, diehard Rams fan, nobody goes anywhere to a thing to support the shit like it is in our city. Right. Dude, I went to pick up the old bag when I was in Chicago. She was at the airport, and I waited. I was there an hour early, and I got there early. The old bag, yeah. You like that?
Yeah.
The fans love it, too. She loves it. I drove in from Indianapolis, and I went to a bar. It's just a towny bar. It's a random towny bar, like 107th or something. And I walked in just being like, oh, I guess I'll just grab a beer and wait. Man, I walked in, and I didn't want to leave. I was like, it was just so rich and filled with, like, people having a good time and talking shit and laughing. You know, they didn't serve food at that bar. It was just liquor, you know, liquor and beer. So they had no food. So some guy goes and gets pizzas. Like, just goes and gets a dozen pizzas. He's like, pizza's at the end of the bar, dude, if you're starving. They don't want money. They don't want nothing. Right. It's just a communal thing that I think, not to rag on LA, but it's the one thing that I wish we had so bad. I mean, shit, it just...
I miss a good neighborhood bar.
Yeah, I love towny bars,
man. You
know,
people say, oh, it's my neighborhood bar. There's a difference between your local bar and your neighborhood bar.
Correct, there
and
is.
We used to do this thing in Baltimore. It'd be like me and three of my friends. We used to go, we'd be bored like everybody. And what we would do, we would drive neighborhoods, like specific neighborhoods in the city. And we'd find a bar. We'd go, that's the one we're going to go into. We're going to go in there. We're going to
just pick it randomly.
Random.
Love
picks.
That shit.
The four of us walk in. And it's that record scratch shit, you know, because right, everyone right. in there lives in a block
right
or two
there.
Of there.
Yeah, they live right around it.
And everyone collectively gives you the, you know, the record scratch, like, who the fuck are these guys?
Yep.
So we go in and they have karaoke. And what we used to do was I would walk up and I would pick your song. And you don't know what it is. You don't know what it is until you walk up there and you're like, fuck. But you have to commit.
I love
it. And the other thing is, you're going to pick mine.
That's
you know what
great.
I mean? So whatever, it's coming back on me.
Right,
it's
right,
not
right.
scot-free. So we used to go in there and do this shit all the time. We would karaoke and we would take it seriously just because we knew they did.
Right.
And by the end of the night, we'd be hitting them with a John Denver or a, you know, a sing-along.
Country Road!
Some whatever. Where they're all clapping along and singing and shit. And they loved us. We'd
Hell
go back
yes.
from time to time. And one of my favorite, I like to tell this one because this guy, he was so serious. It was this dude, you know, he had the mullet, the blonde mullet, a little bit wavy. And he's singing Never Say Goodbye by Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah.
And he's crying. He's fucking crying.
He's just bawling?
Crying. And there's an old salty local right next to me. I go, is this fucking guy crying right now? And he goes, this is Baltimore Sinatra. Oh, I've never forgot that moment.
Baltimore Sinatra.
And he came in. We probably did it four or five times over the course of like a summer. He came in every time and he sang that song. You know, that was his.
And he killed it, I'm sure.
No.
Oh, he did.
God,
no.
He did okay. He did okay.
Yeah.
He certainly was passable, but it wasn't.
Right. He wasn't like when you go to a place.
No, this guy was wrong.
Yeah.
This guy was wrong about a lot of shit in life, I can tell you.
Yeah, but that's why it's so beautiful, because they just love the vibe. Like, mm-hmm. they know that that's the relationship that they have in that spot. Dude, I went to a place.
Like, what are you doing Friday? You know what the fuck I'm doing
you
Friday.
Know what I'm
going
doing.
Over to Crossroads and sing them Never Say Goodbye by Bon Jovi.
I have to.
It's Bon Jovi. What I do.
I don't got a choice. We were in.
Yeah, I have to.
I have to. We were in. Where was I? I was out in in Nashville, and they took me to, I put it on my Instagram too, they took us to this, like, I mean, country bumpkin ass bar. It was so fucking funny, man. We walked in, and it wasn't a record scratch. It was more like, they turned, looked at us, and looked back at each other like, these motherfuckers don't belong. Like, you could just tell. Yeah. Like, they let us live, because they were like, you're fine.
Yeah.
But inside, they were like, these fucking bozos, these weirdos, where the fuck are they from? Like, they were just talking shit the whole time. This girl was on stage. She was, I mean, dude, you could feel how like heartbroken she was about something. And she was singing a song in the middle of it. She's like, fuck you, daddy.
Dude, it was awesome. He's over the corner like, fuck you too.
Dude, it was just so, you could tell there was such real relationships and they had all had fucked around with each other. It was like kind of like incestual in that feeling. Because I remember somebody with turning to me going, did you hear what she just said? And I go, no. And she goes, that woman was talking to this other girl, this younger girl. And she goes, you here with Mark? And she goes, yeah, he's pretty cool. And she goes, yeah, a lot of us been with Mark.
Been with Mark.
A lot of
yeah.
us been with Mark. We came here with Mark too. Like, hey, bitch, don't feel special. This is what Mark does. He comes
Mark
here.
Does. That's right.
He gets a hot dog and tater chips. Couple of Miller Lights.
Oh,
yeah, man. I mean, those kind of town bars, towny bars, those
your
spot, man. I love those. Whenever I travel, I don't want to go to the fucking popular bull. Just take me to somewhere where people are doing it. Yeah,
yes.
Where people are doing their life. I don't want to see I've done the hoopla shit, whole like, yo, this is where everybody wants to go. And then you go and you're like, this is fucking trash.
Right. Why does everybody want to go
trash.
Here?
Trash. Yeah, because it's hype. It's all right. The hype. You know?
We were in there one night and
I'm going to have some sauce.
And I had mine before the show.
You were drinking in your car when you showed up.
I was.
Got me nervous.
two of our friends in the group had this competition between themselves of who, I don't know, it was $100. Whoever could do, outgross the other one. That was their thing.
Like more, just be more disgusting?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we would pay the $100 for whoever the person finally taps out, the other guy wins.
Right.
More disgusting, whatever. So we're in the bar, same bar. People are singing, Baltimore Sinatra's up, and I'm right here on the corner, and then the bar goes this way, okay? So I'm on this corner seat facing in,
right?
And my buddy's right here, this
right.
next one here.
Right, right, right.
And there's this older, much older lady sitting right next to him, clearly visibly older. And I'm over here talking, like, and I look back over here, and he is his tongue down her fucking throat. And I'm like, what the fuck
are you doing?
I mean, she is old
what are we
and
talking?
Big.
What are we talking?
I find out. I'll tell you in a second. Okay, old okay. and big. And I'm grabbing him, and he is dying laughing. He's dying. And my buddy, his name's Scott, he's the one. And I go, he's like, nope. I go, you got to outdo that. He goes, I don't know about that. So next thing I know, we're at the bar, hand down the titties. She's got her hand down his pants.
No.
They are going at it. He is dying the whole time, laughing, playing with her tits. He starts going down her pants. And I go, how old is she? How old is she? And he goes, 68. I go, oh my God, my grandmother's 69. Dude, this is fucking disgusting. He is going hard. Scott's over here like, fuck it, I'm out. He wins. I'm done. This bartender right here, I'm like, you fucking see this shit? This guy looks at me. He's like, that's my mom. And it is his mom. It is his mom. He is not fazed at all.
Didn't
because
care?
That's what she fucking
that's
does.
That's what she does.
That's what she fucking does.
That's her shit.
That's her
she's
shit.
She's like, I come
man.
Here, I get
young,
fingered.
Yeah.
Give me that finger, young
I
dick.
I play a little dick. I don't even have to get up.
That's
I
hot,
could
though.
Not get over.
Good for him, man. Let mom do what she's got to do. I mean, Baltimore's got to have so many fucking fun bar stories just because that's a city of hardworking class, tough
yeah.
people who like to fucking drink. I mean, I went like, I've had some good international fun bar stories too. I think I've told this before, but that when you said the image of being on the corner, the funniest thing I've ever seen, I'll never forget to this day. I was in this bar in London with Johnny Mosley, the Olympic skier. Now I know, I think I've definitely told the story before, but it just sticks out of my head. And his good friend who knew my buddy, and the bar was probably like 4.5 feet tall, 5 feet tall. It was a high bar, right? And I'm leaning up against the bar, and there's no stools. It's like a walk-up bar. It's a big U. And this kid, Brian Bryden was his name. Brian Bryden, skinny dude, dark hair, funny dude, could drink like a fucking fish. Tiny guy, could black out, just keep drinking with all of us. And he's leaning against the bar and he's smiling. He's kind of like wobbling his head. And my buddy's like, what are you doing, man? And he goes, shh, shh, shh. He's like, what are you doing, dude? He goes, just back up. I back up. I look down. His dick is out. He's got his arms on the bar. He's pissing at the fucking bar. Because nobody can see. It's way right. up here. He's leaning against the bar. He's pissing all over the place, dude. But he finished. This, I had to give him kudos.
Finished.
He pissed until he finished and we walked away.
Hilarious.
No one knew shit. I was like,
that's
this
hilarious.
Brian Bryden. Yeah, that was his name. I mean, the amount of when I was, every time I traveled when I was younger, in college especially, and right after, every time I traveled anywhere, we always got in the most trouble because when you're an out-of-town hardhead at somebody else's bar, it's like you feel flawless. You feel infallible. You're like, nobody can, they're not going to get, I don't live here. They're not going to get me. But truth is, that's the best way to get caught because then they know, you know?
And that was our goal, was to ingratiate ourselves into this environment
and
just, you know what, by the end of the night, You ain't going to be mad we were here.
Right. You want to be part of them.
And we're staying until it closes, too. We get in at 9. We're fucking staying. We're not leaving.
What are Baltimore bars? Are they 2 or 3, 4?
2.
Yeah, 2?
Yeah.
Chicago has those 3 and 4 a.m. bars that are just like, it's creepy to me that to stay out that late anymore now because I'm like, I don't want to stay out till 4. But back in the day, I remember being like.
Well, you would know this place I went to. Okay, so some of the best bars I ever went to. The Al Capone bar. What's that called? One he owned, the Green...
Oh, the Green Door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Green Door? Is that right?
The Green Door.
Is that right?
You're talking about...
His old bar, and they have like a Sunday day show there that they've been selling out
the Green
for
Door.
Years. Is that it?
The Green Door.
So that,
now you're making me think twice because the weed is in my brain.
I went there, and it was such... It was so well kept and such a great bar. And they show me his booth and they'd show you why because there's an exit here and here.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
And if they come in through the back. Yeah, and it was so fucking cool. That was a great one. You have a bar in Chicago. I think it's the greatest name of a bar ever called Where Else?
Yeah, Where Else?
Where are you?
Yeah,
Where else? And then I went to this other after hours joint and there was this. She was like a bigger lady, and I mean, she was shredding a fucking Gibson, and she's a blues player. You know what I'm talking about? She was doing Led Zeppelin, and I guess she's like a local
legend.
Yeah, and
I was
like,
the city
who's not
in?
Putting her on something right now?
That's the problem, though. Those people that are so good at those things that they'll never leave that little nook.
Yeah.
No one will ever know how good she is.
She is amazing.
Yeah, that kind of that stuff's so common. By the way, when you travel to places, you go, this fucking human's so incredible. They're like, yeah, man, they're a local legend. It's like, How can they get out of this thing and become a national legend? Yeah. It's a hard thing to do, to escape where you're from, because all the comforts are there, man. You know, like, would you be successful in comedy if you never left Baltimore?
No, there's no comedy scene there.
But that's what I'm saying, is like, for someone there is. You know what I mean? There is a kid there, but right. For someone there is, and it's hard for them to get out.
Yeah, I see.
I think it takes a lot to get out of these things, you know, like go to New York, to go to LA, to do that shit, you know, to get out of your fucking comfort zone. It's just, I get it when I go home that I'm like, yeah, it feels so nice to be at home. And when you're away from it, it's fucking tough, man. It's hard. And you realize the sacrifice that you've made becomes more visible, that you're like, man, it's hard to not be around family and friends, people that you know well.
It's that whole grass is greener, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when I'm on tour and people come up to me like, your job's so cool and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what are you doing this weekend? Like, just cutting the grass, probably drink a beer. I was like, oh my God.
Sounds nice.
Do you know how much I would like to have absolutely just a regular job with no pressure on my shoulders for any reason?
Mm-hmm.
Not to be told, well, you're not going to get this because you're... You know, you don't check these boxes,
right?
Not because, well, you've worked this long, you've done all this checklist over here, the job right. is yours, and just cut some fucking grass.
Yeah,
I came up with a show idea that at some point in my life, when I'm successful enough and can piss the money away, it's going to be called I'll Cut Your Grass. And like today, I'll come to a home. It's a give back show. If you've got breast cancer and you need to go to chemo,
right.
if you're a single parent, you don't get time off. I'm gonna come over and cut your fucking grass. And here's the thing: I'm the B-roll. You understand?
Right,
they're
gonna
follow your story right. out there, and when they need a break from that story and they cut back, I'm out here weed whacking. I'm on the moat, bro. That's it. I'll cut your fucking grass. But I demand to be the B-roll.
Right.
I don't even want to talk.
Yeah, you just want to be.
I just want to cut your fucking grass.
You show up and go, care to cut your grass? And then the camera moves in on them, and
then
you're
gone. I'll cut your fucking grass. They go follow your story. You need some B-roll, artful B-roll in between. I'm out there cutting.
That's
the
really
grass.
Nice, man. That's thoughtful.
That's what I want to fucking do.
It's very giving. Do you do charity shit now? Is there something that
you do? Yeah, I worked on a thing with Simone. I donate to any charities that I can. Just donated to Ed Reed's Foundation.
Oh, that's nice.
He's got a great program in Baltimore. But I read this quote, going back to that real quick, and it really changed my outlook on a lot of things. Like, it resonated hard that if you're always looking for happiness in the next job, the next relationship, mm-hmm. the next home, the next car, the next, you're never going to be truly happy where you are.
Right.
And the whole key to it is being happy right here, not thinking, well, if I just get that car, or if I can just get rid of this chick and go get a new chick, and mm-hmm. that she'll be fine. She'll be, you know, all that thought process of it's always better. Then you're really never focusing on being right here and being happy. And I was like, that's strong. Yeah.
It is strong. No, it is true. You got to love the shit. You got to love the shit that you have and what you've got and the opportunities that you have. And at the same time, keep your eye on that other chick and that other car, you know?
Please. Yeah, you should. You should. Because shit falls apart.
Just in case, man.
I'll just come over and cut your grass.
Yeah. I just want to cut your motherfucking grass.
You
want to
go see that new girl? Come over and cut your grass.
A big life change in the past year I want to transition to, which is kind of wild. You are murdering it right now with your podcast. You're on Your Mom's House Network. And I was going to be a member over there. I was going to join the club.
Mm-hmm.
You ran with the baton. I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. And I was going to do my own shit my own way. But the studio is fucking incredible over there, because everything is like swirling and happening now, huh?
Man, you know, and here's the thing that I love about it. Yes, everything starts from something. And we went from, actually, the episode you came on, the Honeydew podcast, by the way.
Honeydew podcast. Yeah, put the link in the description.
You and I sat at a whiskey table I had built, and we looked at each other.
Yes.
And then we changed to the sort of, it was more of like a sports center format.
It's a desk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're back to the original way, because this is how conversation happens.
This is what I like.
It's more natural.
Yeah, it is.
Like this than the other way. And it, you know, so the sets are changing. You know, it's going to be this ever-evolving thing until it isn't. And
right.
then it settles. But, I love it. I mean, Tom and Christina are great. Everybody over there is fantastic.
Well, Christina's great. Tom is just a real fucking
my favorite mom is Christina.
Yep.
Dr. Drew there. They're doing Two Bears, One Cave. And then Christina has Where My Mom's At. Tom's got the new Spanish podcast,
which is
fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And they produce them in that studio, but those two are out on their own YouTube channels.
Right.
So There's a lot happening there and going on there.
I want to do an all Spanish podcast because I don't speak Spanish. I want to do. I just want to do one. I don't know what I'm talking
about.
See
what the tally is. Yeah. How many words? I want to
do I want to do the translation from Google, so it's all fucked up and jumbled and makes no sense. You know.
Yeah.
Do you speak another language?
No.
Yeah, man.
I took Spanish 3.
1, 2, and 3, baby. Until that's good. You should know some shit.
I know cacahuates. I know some words. I know some words.
Right. You can't do full sentences.
No. I mean basic sentences.
Can you say like, hey, my name's Ryan and I love to play Frisbee?
Me llamo, wait, is that even right?
Hola, me llamo.
Raul. They call me Raul in Spanish. Es Raul. She told me there was no Ryan translation. I had to go with Raul. I go, what's that translation? She goes, roughly it's Ralph. I was like, we'll take Ralph.
Really?
Yeah.
Ralph.
She gave everybody names, Raul. Class names. And
sí, claro.
I wish I took it earlier. I did Spanish 1 in like 8th grade in middle school, transitioning into 9th grade and then 10th grade. And after that, I wasn't doing great in English, proper English. I'm getting a C in Spanish. And I'm like, I'm done.
I'm out of this bitch. I'm out. Yeah.
I mean, I just want to learn how to speak it. I don't want to be tested on it. And right. You know what I mean? I just want to learn how to speak the language, not be graded on how I speak.
Was your teacher sexy, by the way? I feel like every Spanish teacher from my high school was so good looking. It's always a hot girl.
No, she was older, but she was an attractive lady.
Yeah.
But she was older.
Dude, I took German. Yes. Trying to get back to the old country.
I wouldn't even want to listen to that all day.
I took German. Well, because when I was a kid, I went to this thing called LaSalle Language Academy. It's a language school for kids. Kindergarten and first grade, they start to teach you secondary languages so to help your brain develop. It helps English, supposedly. And my mom learned how hard German was to learn, and German was hard, and it developed language, and so I tried it when I was a kid. And then by the time I got to high school, she was like, you should just take German, because you knew it when you were young, you'd listen to it. And still, even German 1 was so fucking hard for me because I hated it so much. It's the most abrasive. Ich kann euch nicht. It's so attacking and shit. Like, you get it when you listen to the language that the Nazis came from there. You know what I mean? Like, it just makes sense how angry it sounds. And my teacher was the opposite. All my friends that took Spanish had a sexy-ass Latin chick who was like, great job today. You know, like, kiss him on the head when they left. Mine was this old-ass Nazi.
Pesos.
Mine was this old-ass Nazi woman. She was so fucking angry. She hated me, dude. She fucking couldn't stand me.
That's what I pictured.
Ugh, that's what I had. This old, mean bag, dude. But the Spanish kids, I was always jealous. I was like, you know, Mrs. Ruiz is sexy. I'm like, I know. I fucking wish I was in that class. But I was so far behind at that point. It was like, I wasn't going to play catch-up and go back. I wish to this day I knew Spanish, you know?
Yeah, me too. And I feel like I really would have done better. And I would have pursued it more if my GPA didn't fucking depend on it. You know what I mean? At 16, I'm on my own policy. I got to get a 3.0. So I figured out the system. I'm a B student.
Right.
But I'm a C math student. But I'm going to get an A in gym. And it's going to wipe that fucking C out. And I'm going to get a 3.0. Right. I'm going to get my good student discount. And I'm going to get my personal pan pizza from fucking Pizza Hut. That's the system. That's what I got to get through school with.
So 3.0 is what you graduated with?
Yeah, 3.0.
Yeah. And then did you go to college or no?
Yeah, I graduated college.
That's right. Yeah, you did go to college. 3.0? Woo!
3.0, straight B's, bro.
Dude, I think I was...
And that wasn't easy.
Yeah,
that
no?
was not easy. No.
Well, I skirted around the threes for my whole life.
I mean,
I dipped in heavy into them C's a little bit. Had some C's on the car. Yeah, a couple of C's, yeah.
Yeah, but I would always take something that I knew I could get an A in that would balance out a C.
Yeah, gym, we didn't get a grade for. We got a pass or fail.
That should be the way Spanish is. A second language should be a pass or fail, not a letter grade.
Well, you know, like Ivy schools, like, you know, like Harvard and shit, there is pass or fail. It's complete or incomplete. So you either, which I think is what most of that shit should be. I think it's unfair to put these monetary systems on whether or not you grasp the concept. I think everyone's going to grasp it at different levels.
And specifically to how you got it at an 86.
Right. Why would that?
Got it at an 81. Why is that any? I mean, what?
Because it's innocuous, too. The numbers don't mean anything, right?
Nothing.
An 82 is just as valid as an 83. Why isn't it? Why is there a difference?
Right.
Yeah, it should be yes or no.
Yes.
Right, and no is very fucking obvious. We had a lot of no's in my class, and I remember being like, that kid's a no for sure. Like, this motherfucker's not getting out of school. You just know, and just because someone's bad at it doesn't mean they should be. Like, I just disagree with the whole system that we've always had, especially because guys like us, I would assume you're the same. It's like, distracted very easily, wanted to have fun all the fucking time. Like, it was just school was a way to like kick it with friends and see more people, and getting through class was like, oh, I got to just get through it. You know, like it was hard for me to engage because it wasn't interesting. It just wasn't interesting.
It wasn't. And for me, I didn't have parents from 16 through graduation. So trying to concentrate on math and shit, I'll tell you this story.
Because you grew up with grandparents, right?
Well, I had my father die when we were 16. My mom had already split. Then we had to go live with her once he passed.
Oh.
And because of that, she just left. So she would come home on Sundays, wash clothes, catch up, and then she'd go stay at her boyfriend's all week and just leave us be.
And nobody would come see you?
Nobody.
Holy shit.
And we took care of ourselves. And I have a twin brother and a younger brother. So rarely ever did my twin brother and I have the same classes. We were separated purposely.
Because they knew you'd be fucking around.
Probably.
Yeah.
And also, like, sports teams, we had to play on the same team because our parents were like, we're not taking you to fucking two practices.
That makes sense, though. You know,
but class, separate them, let them be individuals. But this one math class we had in 10th grade, it was intro to calculus. And I sucked at math. I wasn't good at math. And he was better at other shit. So this was my class to fuck up, but we're in this class together.
Mm-hmm.
And we get hit with this pop quiz. And it didn't matter if it was a pop quiz or he told me about it a month ahead. I was still going to not do well on this fucking quiz. All of them were pop quizzes to me. You know?
It could have,
I was like, I knew
quizzes are pop quizzes.
I knew it was coming. It was a pop quiz.
They just call them quizzes pop quiz. Everything's a quiz. We had a pop quiz this week?
We had a pop quiz. Yeah, but I told you about 2 weeks ago. It's still
popping on me right now, man.
Popped up. So I fail it miserably. And then I get it back and he says to the class, take this home, have your parents sign it.
Oof.
I'm not going to have my dad
sign it. Oh, the anxiety of that shit. Like, take this home.
So I forge it.
Yeah. Who do you forge?
I forge my dad because he's who we're living with.
I was going to say, I thought if your dad was dead and you forged it, that'd be some ice cold shit. Yeah, that did happen.
I sign it. And then, whatever, go back to class. And on Friday, his name's Mr. Mangold. I've been starting to tell this story on stage a little bit, but he goes, Sickler Brothers, up in front of class. He was a super nerd. He had the fucking pocket protector.
Sickler Brothers,
the tie.
Please report to the front of the class.
But he was cool as shit. And in front of the class, he's like, Sickler Brothers, you guys have different dads? And I'm like, huh? And then it hits me. And I look at my brother, and this motherfucker failed it too. And he did the same goddamn thing I did. But we didn't tell each other. We didn't talk about. I didn't be like, I failed that fuck.
Because you didn't want to let him know that you failed.
I just didn't even think he did. He was good at math. I just sucked at math. So I forged it. I wasn't saying shit. And right away, I'm like, you motherfucker. And the whole class starts laughing. And he holds him up. And he's like, same dad, right?
We're like, yeah.
He's like, two different signatures. But he's got a smile on his face.
Yeah.
And he goes, he's like, does your dad know about this? And right away, we jump on the same page. We're like, he totally knows. Yeah.
He's cool with it.
He knows we did that. He just said we could sign it. But we told him. He's like, all right. He said, well, it was Friday night. I'll never forget. And they had a little sub shop in town, pizza and sub shop called Pap Paps. And it was 2-for-1 pepperoni pizzas.
Pap Paps. Come on down to Pap Paps, boy. Friday get yourself 2-for-1. Dude, I see Pap Paps right now. Pap Paps, boy, come on in.
But a pizza, you don't find that out here in a sub shop. A sub shop.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense.
So,
yeah.
He's got a van. He's got the family. He said, I'm taking the family out. He's telling the whole class, I'm taking the family out. We're going to go get our 2-for-1 pepperoni pizzas at Pap Paps. And I'm going to swing by the Sickler household and see if your dad really does that. We're like, you're not coming by. He's like, I'm coming by. We're like, you are not coming by. He's like, I'm definitely coming by. So whatever. Class ends. We're both 16 and we split a car, which is the other thing that sucks about a twin. I get it every other weekend.
Oh,
I don't just get to go when I want to go. It's his turn this week. I'm going where the fuck I want to go. So it's my turn. We get home at school like 4 o'clock. I get the car. I'm gone. I don't have to be back till midnight. I come in like right around midnight. And my dad and my brother are sitting there. And they're like, Mr. Mangold, stop by. I go, bullshit. And my dad's like, you guys are fucking idiots. And he's laughing. I go, he did not come by. He's like, yes, he did. We took a picture and everything. I'm like, bullshit. And he's like, he came by, told me you guys forged fucking things, whatever. A very short time after that, my father dies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how long. Week? Couple weeks?
Damn.
Very quick. And we end up getting the picture back. And there he is. Now, it just goes so deep. So we get back to class, and the teacher says, he pulls me aside after, and he says, I have to ask you, was that one of the last pictures taken of your father? And that's when it hit me. I was like, oh, that's the last picture we ever took of my dad, is him standing there shaking our math teacher's hand. They're both smiling. He's in like a Russell Gold hoodie. The teacher's got his tie, you know, same shit.
Right.
And I was like, I started thinking about it. Like, if we hadn't been twins, like it goes all the way back to the ball bag. If we hadn't been twins, if we hadn't been in the same class, if we hadn't failed the same fucking test, if we hadn't done the same thing, if it was today, they could have shown me a picture of that moment. You know what I mean? Like, here he is. Came over tonight. He was here, you know, time stamps.
Just on my iPhone.
But we had to wait to get that fucking, you know, take it, process it, and get it back. And I was like, that's I'm glad I fucking, for the first time in my life, I'm glad I cheated.
In here, we pour whiskey.
It's the new year. Do you still have clutter in your house? I know some people do spring cleaning. I like to do new year cleaning as well. And you can't just give it away. You can't just throw it away. You have something that's worth something to you. So you need to sell it. And eBay, come on. eBay's baloney pony. Everybody knows that. There's a bunch of companies on there. Sharks, illegal dealings going on. You can't just put stuff up. You want another marketplace that's valuable, that's reputable, that has a great amount of humans, over 45 million downloads maybe. Mercari is the place for you, Mercari. The app, it's incredible. I personally sold my Xbox One that I never played because I'm too busy partying, having a good time, drinking with my friends. No, I just ran out of time. I couldn't really play it, and I'm not that good at video games, to be very honest with you. So I got on Mercari and I sold it, and it was incredible. It's very easy to use, user-friendly, has over 500,000 reviews. I mean, this thing is, it's exactly where you want to be if you're looking to sell something from a reputable company to other people just like you that are looking for stuff that you have that they need. They view themselves as the Robin, not the Batman, dude. They're the underdog. They're the little guy. They're the ones that are trying to facilitate good, easy, convenient sales for two parties to trade good gear, so no one's getting ripped off. No one's getting scammed. It is perfect. So if it's the new year for you and you're looking to make new space in your life and not have clutter around your house, do yourself a favor and download Mercari, Mercari, like 45 million other human beings have already done. Check it out and sell some stuff or buy some stuff. Whatever you need to do to make your life a little bit crisper and cleaner. Whiskey Ginger fans, if you're like me, you like sipping on the old whiskey ginge. Or just whiskey. Doesn't matter how you take whiskey, as I learned from a great distiller. You drink it the way you like it. This right here is Screwball Whiskey. It is Betty Betty good stuff. It's from OB, California, here from Southern California. It's some SoCal whiskey, dude. This is the peanut butter flavor, man. Peanut butter is good. I tried to give it to my dog. She threw up everywhere, dude. She loves peanut butter, so this is really strange that she didn't like this. But it is delicious stuff, originating here in Southern California. The originator is a polio survivor. So come on, man. I mean, help this dude out. You know what I mean? He's beat some real legit stuff. But this is delicious. You can put Screwball Whiskey on anything. You can drink it as a shot. You can put it on some ice. You can put it with ice cream, which is what I've done before, and I liked it very, very much. I put some in my coffee. I put some in my tea. I put some in my water. I put it in really anything if I'm wanting to have some peanut butter flavor injected in there. Go to ScrewballWhiskey.com. Go check this out. Go buy it at any local store. It is good for the drinking, dude. It's 70 proof. So you feel it, you know what I mean? You're not going to get wrecked, but you're definitely going to feel it. Please drink responsibly. But it is absolutely delicious, and it's worth every little drop. So please go get yourself some Screwball Whiskey. Support those that support the Whiskey Ginger Show, my friends. Back to the episode.
Ginger. I like gingers.
That was
That's
a good
deep
one.
As fuck, man.
It went deep, yeah.
Sometimes those things help,
I'm
right?
Saying, I'm not saying you should. I say this before. I made a post on Instagram. Like, I'm not saying you should cheat, but I'm saying, like, two things, especially as a parent. I got to remember to be that cool, too.
Yeah.
I can't fly off the fucking handle. About, like, they could have. The teacher was cool about it.
Could have lost it, yeah.
Yeah, he was cool about it. And then he actually came over and made this moment. I'll never forget it. And so I told that story at a show in Baltimore. And one of the girls I know from high school, she's his next door neighbor. And she's like, I'm going to tell him. So she told him, and I told, he wanted to tell me what his side of it. And I was like, I would love to know. Like the moment you're grading our papers and you're like, wait a second.
Shit.
And you put it all together and then you come to class. Like, I would love to hear.
Oh my God.
His side of how this happened. Yeah. How dumb he fucking thought we were. And then to actually roll by the fucking house. He has kids out in the van. They sat out there.
They got their pap-paps though, so they're good. They're in the van with the pap-paps. Dad, where are you going? Sit in the car with the pap-paps.
That's right.
I got some shit to do. That was more, I mean, not to harp and reminisce on that kind of stuff, but it was more special to wait for a picture to come back. I mean, the anxiety was so exciting, you know? You know, it was like, I want to see that fucking photo. It's like, what a great moment to be able to capture. There was no redos, no retakes.
Nothing. I remember a comedian back in the day, and I wish I could remember who it was, but this is when I was a kid. I remember watching this guy do a bit about SeaWorld, and Shamu jumped and he snapped it and he looked at the family and went, hope we got it. You know what I mean? Like, you saved all this money to come all this way to watch this whale jump.
I think so. In the picture, it's just the kid squinting. There's a tail going in the water. Yeah.
There's our Shamu.
But those are, right, but that's what makes, my mother's always about that. My mom still to this day, whenever there's photos, she hates still photos. She hates, like, posed photos.
Yeah.
She hates it. So she complains every time someone's like, okay, my mom's always like, just go. Just do it. She just wants them to do it, you know, random. Natural. Natural. She's like, just take it. And I do agree. Whenever I see those natural photos, man, do they look so much more fucking fun and more realistic and more like, oh, that's what these people were up to right then. There is no...
You see the moment there, not the pose.
And I know that's the one thing I'm trying to do is not sound like my dad or be so much like my dad's like, well, it was better when we did it. It's like, not everything is better when we did it. I also get why things are the way they are sometimes, but some moments will be sweeter because of the lack of technology. I think because we lack technology in departments like that back then, it made it somewhat more valuable. I don't know, you know, I can't really articulate to a younger generation who's like, what are you fucking talking about? That sounds annoying that I had to wait for the, you know, but like that computer has, you know, a terabyte filled of bullshit of pictures that I probably never look at because it's all from my cloud and my phone. That's just whoop, whoop, whoop. There's nothing about it. Every photo I took when I was a kid, I looked at them multiple times, over and over.
I can remember them in my brain.
Yeah, see, that's what's crazy. I in my phone, I could tell you the last three things that are in there because I just saw them recently. But back at the house, in my old room, I recently found a huge stack because I made doubles and triples. Remember, you used to make copies?
Yeah.
You're like, I'll get doubles, dude. I'll get you yours. I found a stack of doubles and triples of Spring Break.
Triples.
Yeah, triples, bro. Triples. Yeah, of Spring Break. I found them and I can visually see almost every photo that's in that. And there's probably, I don't even know, four cameras worth of photos, you know, four disposable rolls of photos. And I remember almost every photo. And I remember so well what we were doing when we took them because it's etched in your brain differently, you know? Like, it's just something burns into your head when you had to wait for it. And you were also taking a picture for some reason, had a little bit more fun to it. It was, like, exciting to get to take a picture. This sounds such like fucking okay boomer talk. I'm sure, like, you know what I mean? It sounds like
that's
outdated
what my
bullshit.
Stepson says to me,
okay,
every day.
Boomer.
Okay, boomer. He just drops it nonstop.
First of all, you're not. But
I know, and I explain that to him. Yeah. Like, you guys are so fucking dumb.
So dumb, you don't even know what that means.
Clowning the wrong generation. Yeah. I go, tell me the truth. You had to look it up. He goes, I did.
Yeah, they don't know. What
you
the
don't
fuck
even
that
know.
Is.
But now it's the joke. No, but that's the joke. I'm like, don't tell me how jokes work.
Right.
You all fucked up. And now you're just trying to ride it out.
Right. But that's the thing is like all of those things because of the internet have circulated things that are not even true. Do you know what I mean? Like that's like exemplified non-truths. Yeah. The internet takes
one
a hold
popular
of
meme
yeah.
will do more than 12 years of education.
100%. Yeah. That well how like how old is your kid?
My daughter's 5 and her brother's 16.
Right. The 5-year-old though. She's entering into a world of like pure technology growth. It's going to be crazy, right? That's
crazy.
A strange thing. Like we just got, not we, but our nieces got iPhones for Christmas. And, you know, look, yeah, they get them young now. Like it is what it is. It's more to take, you know, for the parents to stay in contact and know where they are, like all that shit. But it is crazy to think like that technology in such a young person's hand, it's an insane amount of access.
Oh, It's
insane, right?
Everything's there. Like when we were kids, and I know it does sound old guy stuff, whatever, but you couldn't just go anywhere and watch porn or look at beheadings.
Yeah.
Or go to, yeah. you know what I, yeah. like, you want to see a plane crash? You want to see a dead body? You want to see a plane crash? You want to see this? You want to see lightning strike a fucking cow? You know, whatever it is. Like,
yeah. You just get it.
It's there. It's just there.
I also liked the, there was a sweeter time and I'll meet you there. And then if, you know.
I'll call you at seven.
Yeah. I'll meet you there. I'll call you then. Yeah. Going to the movie theater. I can't remember how many times that people were supposed to come to the movies, but you're like, we're just going to watch it. We'll figure it out afterwards.
Yeah, I guess they're not coming.
Movies at 7:30. I guess they're not. The phrase, I guess they're not coming, doesn't exist anymore. Nah. I guess you they're not coming.
Keep hitting somebody.
Yeah. What's up, man? Are you coming?
You all right?
Hey, man, are you coming over?
Now you start to
worry. We scheduled this a week ago, and I texted you 2 days ago, and I said, we're still good, right? Happy New Year. And we just like to check in because it's cordial. Back in the day, it was like, hey, we made that plan.
Remember, you're supposed to be here Wednesday at 5?
Right.
I didn't know. Right. But you did remember that.
You did. Because you just had, you didn't have a choice.
I knew phone numbers. I could tell you a bunch of phone numbers.
How do I know them all right now?
I still don't know my passwords these days. Like, there's shit that just gets pushed out, you know.
Well, I know. That's what creeps me out is the more passwords that I have. Like, I have a password list that's being compiled and stored for, like, all these different, like, we were talking about,
you
like.
You still have phone numbers in your head?
100%.
My grandmom's 242-5765. We had a 795-1573. We had a 795-2182. I remember my dad's first, well, not his first, but the first license plate I remember of my father's car. It was a Datsun B210 wagon.
What was it?
And it was BDA054. I remember it
burned into your brain.
BDA054. I just lost my wallet last week. Dude, I can remember that goddamn license plate.
I was in the fucking grocery store.
Nuts,
I forgot my phone number for the awards, you know, for the CVS card. I'm not kidding. I was staring at it and
about
I was like,
it for a minute.
3310. And I literally was going through my head. The other day, I re-signed up for an app, and my first bank account in LA was Chase, a Bank of America or Chase, whatever it was. But I hadn't had an app for them for years because I haven't used them in years. And when it opened it up, it was my old phone number. But it said, we're texting this number. And it was just the last two digits, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was 99. And I go, that's my old fucking phone number. But I remember that clear as day. You know why? Because when I got that phone, they used to write your phone number on the box in fucking Sharpie. You know, it had my fucking phone number on the box. So I can see it right now, 917-4499. But I just was like, that's crazy that it was so singed into my fucking skull. It's also probably a product of youth. The things that you remember, they have meaning for specific times in your life. That was my first phone.
Right.
So it was, you know, when I had Snake on that bitch, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm fucking, that was my first phone.
I don't know if it's been, I just remember when you moved, you had to get a new area code and a new number. Now it's like, you can go wherever the fuck you want with that
number. No, you don't have to get a new number. Yeah, nothing. I had my Chicago number for a while and then I had to get rid of it. Like, I didn't have a choice. Got to get some more agua in there. See, I told you, look at our brain. Fill it up, baby.
Okay, look at that.
That's what happens. Just when you smoke pot, you got to hydrate, kids. You have to stay
hydrated. Nice water.
Yeah. How long have you been smoking pot?
I started late, at least I think late, since I've sat down and talked to so many people to tell me they started at like 12 or 13. I didn't start. The first time I smoked marijuana, it doesn't even really count. I was 18, and I took a hit of an ashy bowl that was gone. I didn't do it again.
I know that flavor. You know, I can feel that flavor in my brain of like an old shitty bowl that's already burnt. You're
and I was like, oh. And then
smoke.
21 is when I started smoking. And I only smoked on weekends for years. I don't think until my 30s I started, maybe a little bit before that, started smoking night.
Because it was like a party gig. It was like a party thing. Yeah. I mean, dude, I oddly agree, and I know I'm, you know, whether or not people like this, I don't give a fuck, but I smoked for the first time when I was 15. I've been smoking for quite a while, but I don't wish, in retrospect, I smoked pot back then. Like, I wish I waited till a lot longer, you know, just because they see all the development. I'm cool with people smoking pot. I am an advocate of marijuana, but I do think that it should be waited for the development of your brain. It does stint your brain. It is not great for someone with an undeveloped brain. And when you're 15, it's not good, you know?
No.
It's the same thing as the juice. The sauce is really bad for you when you're young, too. You're just developing in your brain. It's not like restricting the youth because it's like, you can't handle it or whatever. But, you know, 15, I didn't understand what it was like popping drugs in my mouth and smoking pot and drinking and fucking. You just thought you just want to have fun.
Yeah.
I wish, like 2021, I think they say between 18 and 21 is when your brain is at its full capacity development-wise, is not going to change much more. And I, in that window, I think is the smartest time to try stuff. I would always say to the youth, man, I'm going to say it to my own kid, be like, listen, dude, I know you're going to want to try stuff just because that's the world. But if you can wait till you're past 18,
I promise you
it's worth it. Yeah. It just is. Like, you know, I mean, dude, yeah, I was 15 getting fucking stoned out of my brain. And I don't, God knows what that did to me. You know, I was talking to my...
Did you go to school high, class high?
Fuck yeah, dude. Holy shit. I don't think I could have ever dealt with that.
Knowing what I know about marijuana now, I feel like it would have made those classes feel like 3 fucking hours.
It did sometimes, but so other times boring. You got lost in your brain of wonder. And yeah. because marijuana was so fresh in your head, it was just like, I mean, dude, there was a talent show that I won.
You won a talent show?
I won like the Mr. High School or whatever, the senior year Mr.
What'd you do?
Oh, this is so embarrassing.
What'd you do? I got a talent show.
I did the beatboxer Razel. Do you know who that is? You remember him? He did the ABCs, and I did that on stage, and I was beatboxing while I was singing this song. If your mother only knew, you guys should look up what Razel did. This is very fucking late 90s reference to hip hop. But anyway, I did that. As my talent or whatever. And then
what, how old, 15, you know, high school, you say?
High school. No, this was my senior year. I was 17 okay. or something like that, 18. But anyway, I won, and I went out the next week at lunch like we always did and went and got high as fuck and came back in, and my Mr. Hart, I think his name was, he was a drunk. Like, he had shit in his desk. Remember the rumors of being like, yo, he's drinking.
Yeah.
And at some point, you're like, no, he's not. But then we saw the boost. Yeah. And you were like, oh, shit, he is getting fucked up, dude. He was an old dude. You could tell he was ready to retire. He didn't give a fuck, but he always had a coffee cup. There was always, always vodka and something else in there. It was never coffee, okay? Never coffee, because you'd walk by and be like, it's not brown. Yeah, you knew. And he was kind of a slow talker, a bigger man. And rest in peace. I don't think he's around anymore. Anyway, he is. Watch, he's listening. He's like, I'm still here. Yeah. Fucking. But Mr. Hart, I walked into class late. I was like 10 minutes late. And I was so baked. It was like one of those times when I got way too high at lunch. And
you guys were allowed to leave at lunch?
Yes. Athletes, seniors and athletes could leave. Okay. Yeah, you had open campus. Yeah. And yeah, by the way, California kids, we grew up in schools where it's fucking inside. Out here, it's like...
Yeah, we weren't allowed to leave at all.
Fuck no. Yeah. No, that you... Well, I mean, freshmen can't even think about it, you know, unless you get... Unless you have, like, some medical excuse or whatever. But anyway, yeah, we come back in, I'm baked out of my head, and I'll never forget to this day. I just go to sit down, he's like, Mr. Santino! And I was like, hey, sorry, I'm late. You know, I was just trying to bury my head at my desk, and he's like, I heard you had a great performance on Friday. I was like, no, yeah, it was very fun. He's like, well, since you're late... And you took some of my time, I'm going to take some of your time. And he goes, I want you to get up in front of the class and perform what you did on Friday. Dude, I'm not
kidding.
The
whole thing?
I'm not kidding. And so I was like, no, I don't want to. He's like,
and you're baked.
Dude, I'm baked out of my head. And he goes,
you probably knew.
He goes, it's either you perform or you can walk yourself down to the principal's office, because I had been late all the time. He was doing this thing as like, here's the exchange. I know you guys go get high at lunch. Mm-hmm. He fucking knows. He's like, you can either do this or I'm finally going to clip you for it. You know what I mean? It was like the last straw. So I got up in front of the class, and I remember being like, I was so fucking high, and I was like, can you turn off the front lights? Like two rows of lights, you know? I was like, can you turn off the front lights? And he was like, why? I'm like, it puts me in a better mood. And they turned off the front lights, and it did help me get into a place where I was like, I think I can perform this without panicking, without freaking out. And so I did like half of it, and the crowd, you know, the class liked it. They clapped and everything. And I sat back down, and he just stared at me and smiled for like a full minute, like, you did it. I'm going to let you go. I know, though. He was like, don't think I don't know, bitch. I fucking know. He was cold, dude. Dude, I got kicked out of a lot of stuff, but I got kicked out of silent study. Did you guys have that shit?
Yeah.
They kicked me out of silent
study hall. Yeah, study hall. Silent.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. And come on, you want me to be quiet? Right. You want this guy to be quiet? You're out of your fucking mind. So we had silent study, and they kicked me out of silent study. And so what I did was I ended up working for they were like, you have to have some kind of job or class. So the cop there, the campus cop, made me like do filing and do all his bullshit. And this is the beginning of a movie that I should write. Him and I became like kind of buddies. Like, at first, I was a Santino punk ass, whatever. And then he, like, loved me. because I would tell jokes all day, we'd be fucking around. He was a young cop too. And at some point, I saw the beginnings of what could have been me being like, hey, I play with your gun. You know what I mean? Yeah, and him be like, totally. Yeah, check it out. Yeah, like,
safety's off.
I saw this world unravel of like how easy it could be in this crazy, like what if I did something fucked up and I call him and be like, I need your help, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know something shady about him. So it's like, now I've got him on the clip. It's like how cops get in trouble. It's like they let a punk in. Whenever they let a punk in, it's like, that's the beginning of every single movie story you've read where the cops went bad is because they let a good kid who just is having a tough time into their world. And they're like, what do you mean you can get 100 pounds of fucking crystal meth by Thursday? It's just like it's the beginning of a shitty cop movie. But yeah, I had to work in his fucking office. I mean, school was tough, dude. It was tough for me. It was just tough. My parents didn't get it. They were like, you're not a dumb kid. Why do you do so bad? I couldn't communicate to them how, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this that had the same experience. It's like, didn't click. I was like, I fucking hate this.
Every human being must learn education and be educated this way. And
it doesn't work. No.
It doesn't work. And not for everybody. Like, I hope when my daughter gets to college, they've backed off of this 4-year bullshit that you don't need. You know, you need, if you know what you want to do, you need two years.
I totally agree.
That's it. Yep. And you're working on that trade. That's if you want to be a programmer, or if you want to, you know, code, or if you want to be, well, doctor's obviously different, but you know what I'm saying? You need a good 2-year program. You don't need, why do I have to take math if I'm never going to use it in my fucking job?
I should have to take basic math as a youth, that's it.
Yeah. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Basic math.
Basic math.
If I choose to pursue a job like, you know,
engineering
or design or finance, then give me math, let me teach me that math.
Right.
But there's no reason I need that shit.
No, I mean, but to be fair, too, is like on the other side of the coin, I was so blank about what I wanted to do. I mean, I knew this is what I wanted to do, but I was so scared that this wasn't a viable option that in college, I remember thinking, damn, dude, I gotta get good at one of these classes. You know, turns out creative writing and journalism was where I got my degree and where I succeeded, but it was also like, that still scared me because I was like, this isn't a skill enough.
No.
You know, my friends are graduating from business school with, and then they're going to get their master's in business and they know they're going to go, you know, get a sale, you know, marketing, sales, yada, all that shit. That fucked me up. And I think that fucks up kids today. And if people, if you're young enough and you're in school right now and you're listening, fucking don't worry about that shit. Like that'll give you the worst anxiety of like, what am I supposed to be doing? Where am I supposed to be going? I mean, that shit drowns you for no reason.
And also you've just been, especially if school doesn't work for you and you're an intelligent kid, you've just been taught all this shit and you're like, now I'm thrown out into the
good luck.
Real world.
Go
what
get
am
it.
I supposed to do with all that shit that I, it didn't even speak to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? It didn't even, no, it's not, I'm supposed to go into this university, but before I find out what I really want to do, I got to take 2 years of your bullshit courses just so you all can pay your fucking fees and everything. Get the fuck
it's
out
bullshit.
Of here. It's terrible.
What do you think? Now, I want to ask you, I'm curious, what do you think about pay to play? Because, you know, California approved pay to play for athletes.
I think it's great.
Yeah, for college athletes.
I say all the time, the three most crooked institutions in our country in order are just politics in general.
Yeah.
NCAA junkyards.
Okay? Yeah. Wait. For a second, hit me with the junkyard. Why are junkyards so crooked?
I've been telling a story about it. I grew up working in my friend's dad's junkyard, and they're just, you know, like, so we used to have this guy named Meso, this older black man. It would be my job twice a year to go down to this rough-ass neighborhood in Baltimore, pick him up, and bring him out, and his specialty was rolling back odometers, and he could roll back. Remember the early digital alarm clock?
Yes.
This dude could do all of them. So he's rolling them back, and then they're selling them at that.
Of course.
So at 16, these drivers start taking me, like, oh, we got to go pick up this car. I'll drive, and then you drive that one back. And I was 16. I'm like, yes. All I want to do is drive.
Right.
But we're always going to this fucking like strip mall, and the keys are always in the car, and I'm just always driving them back. But the first handful of times, I'm just stoked to drive. And after about the third or fourth time, like, they're always here. The keys are, oh, fuck. These are stolen cars.
Yeah, bro.
I'm driving stolen fucking cars.
Yep.
And we would take them back. And then what I found out they did later was crush them up, part them out, melt them down. And then that person would report their car stolen and collect on the insurance.
100%. Yeah, insurance fraud.
So I'm driving these fucking...
You're breaking like six laws at once.
I mean, I'm 16 and I'm doing all that. And then just the drugs. I learned about cocaine. Because the one guy would come in hungover every morning and be like, all right, I'm going over to my office. And then within 30 minutes, he would kick that front door up and be like, woo! And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Time to scrap some cars!
Yep, that's cocaine.
Yeah.
So all these crooked things are going on there. And yeah, I just like to throw them right behind the NCAA. But back to it.
Because you think that's the shady junkyards are shady, shady.
Well, also, it's not just them. Like, if you just have a busted mirror on your car... They'll call a junkyard. You're not getting there. If it's in good condition, they'll come and look at it, inspect it, and be like, yeah, we'll take this.
Yeah.
And they'll put it right on your fucking car. And they might have paid $65 for it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it happens a lot at body shops. A lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot. I watched it all and I was like, oh, you are all fucking crooked.
Yeah.
Insurance, all of it. But
well, insurance is just a potential threat. It's so funny. Give it to us or something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, shit, we have to give money. That was a bad's going to happen. Yeah, for my childhood best friend, he worked for a company for a long time. They insure a myriad of things, but they also insured titty bars. You know why they insured titty bars? Ain't nobody getting hurt at a titty bar and suing a titty bar, because guess what? What are you going to tell your wife?
That's a good point.
Where'd you slip and break your leg, babe?
That's a great point.
How'd you break your arm? Doing what? I thought you were out last night. Didn't you go out with the guys to play poker at Tim's house? How'd you break your arm at Tim's house? Right?
Why do these look like titty bruises on your face?
Yeah. Why do you have glitter all over your fucking face? How could you? That was such a, it was such a genius. I mean, that wasn't their literal interpretation. They try to skirt around and be like, oh, no, they're valuable bars and nightclubs and all that shit. But you're like, no, strip clubs make the most sense. Ain't nobody getting hurt in a strip club and is going to sue. No fucking way. You don't want to be litigious about what you're up to, because a strip club would go, should we show the court when you got your dick sucked? And they're like,
we have the video.
Yeah, because we have all the video. You know that we have the video. Other, you know. Anyway, goodbye. Yeah. So yeah, I think their insurance is a scam. But jumping back, yes.
I love the pay to play.
You think pay to play is a good idea?
I do think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I think that if you are a Michael Jordan, well, I know that's an extreme case, but I think that if you're a Michael Jordan type person in college, and they're making bank off of selling your jersey and your everything. Then
you're everywhere.
You should get a fucking cut of that. Why should the NCAA only take the money? Why should that university only take the money?
And then their side of it is saying, well, we're giving you a free education. That's what they're saying. Now you think,
but you earned that education. You have allocated money for student athletes that can take this money. You're not giving it so much as I earned it.
Right.
You have this money.
Well, the irony for me is when they use that argument, you know, like my dad uses that argument. Like, these guys, they're getting a free education. It's like, well, education is a fake number anyway. One college is worth $6,000. Why is the other one worth $50,000?
Right.
What the fuck is there? You're saying the faculty is that much stronger?
Right.
You're saying the curriculum is that much better?
Outside of Ivy League.
Exactly. Outside of Ivy League, you're all the fucking same.
You are.
It should be all the same. It's a nonsense thing, especially because you meet enough college professors over the years and you're like, I'm smarter than this motherfucker.
Yes.
This guy's teaching shit.
Yeah.
This bozo can't parallel park. Yep. Fuck you. Get out of here.
No doubt.
So I think that's a part of the scam that bothers me about it. The other scam is, to me, you're forcing kids to make sure they get a certain number of years of eligibility, depending on the sport, in college before they go pro, which is basically saying, we need your ticket for a couple years, and then you can fly free.
That's right.
Yeah, it's handcuffing you until they think it's valid for you to fly free. Now, why? What would be the reasoning other than money?
We need to get our 2 years worth of money
out of these people.
That's
exactly right. Yeah, that's it. So I'm pro it, but I do think there should be some like anything else, right? Like, I'm pro gun. I've always said I'm pro gun. There needs to be regulations.
Agreed.
I think there should be a lot of things that come before the thought of should everybody have a gun. It's like, well, I think first of all, you drive a fucking car, you need to get a license, you got to drive 90 hours behind that bitch before they even give it to you. You know, it's like, same thing with the gun. I don't think you should buy one the same fucking day and get one that day. I think you should have more checks. I think you should have a license.
Agreed.
You know, the idea that you don't have to have a license to pop a gun is wild to me.
You have to have a license to fish.
Yeah, fuck. And they'll fish. They'll fine you for
and
it.
And they will hit you hard for it.
You're in a river, you're like, just catching some carp.
Hold up! I'm like, oh, fuck. I didn't get my fishing license.
Dude, if you're on a boat in the middle of a lake and you don't have enough life vests, they'll ticket you for that shit. Yep. But you're telling me you can go grab a gun and pop up? So anyway, jumping, I'm digressing a million different ways. But I do think the regulation should be some sort of cap, right? Because once you start paying some guys more than others, that gets shaky to me.
But so, here's the other thing, too. Like, they're saying, well, we're giving you a free education. And Andrew Santino's like, I just made you $1.5 million in concessions.
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, in parking out there.
Right.
They're coming to see me.
Right. But I think the biggest thing that young college kids need is a little bit of education when they go pro on how to do finances. So I think they should be given a financial advisor for free at the cost of the school, because that's part of the profit margin, right? And that financial advisor should take the caps out, the cap that they make from pay to play, and show them how to invest it, show them how to manage it. You know what I mean? Enough where it's like, you did get free school, but thank you also for the $9 million you guys made,
right,
you know, this afternoon. But it's like, I think they should be able to get a reasonable piece of transportation. A lot of these kids don't have cars anyway. It's like, give them, you know, I'm not saying they should have Bentleys and fucking, but I think they should get a reasonable car to drive around with, some spending money and rent money and food money. So their focus is just sports, not on getting a secondary job, which is definitely a part of it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, someone is loaning them the money. The shadiest thing to NCAA is like, we don't want them involved in money, right, yet they have boosters lining their fucking pockets illegally.
But your uncle can't give you a PlayStation game.
No, hell no. Right? No, what you doing, man? Right. Can't be right. Yeah. No, that's what's so fucking shady. That to be very honest, to be very blunt about it, it all comes down to this, man.
That's all it.
It's just the old white men wanting to be like, don't, you better not pay them, dude. Yeah. Once you pay them, you know what'll happen.
It's over.
It's over. Yeah. He'll get out there. They'll be fucking running the town up.
Georgetown will be winning them back to back.
We can't have the Hoyas doing that now, dude, can we now? That SEC shit, you know? It's a secret old cult, man. It's just an old cult. It just reminds me of so many other things. Like The Family. If you never saw Family on Netflix, watch that shit. The amount of religious influence in politics dude, it's all the same. It's all part of the same fucking cycle. So I did a lot of ingesting of stuff like that over the holidays, because we got into family, got into one of these half political, half religious discussions, and the old bag checked out. She doesn't want to get involved in that. I usually check the fuck out too, because it's my wife's family. I'm like, I'm good. I'm not getting into this bullshit.
Right.
You know, I don't want this fucking beef. I'm trying to have a few of these and go to bed. But it was quite balanced, to be honest. But the truth is, you do see how passionate people are about what they believe in. And at the end of the day, people can't believe you don't believe what they believe. And that's what starts arguments, wars, fights.
Yes.
I mean, it's a microcosm. So that's why the pay-to-play thing will never be, it'll be a never-ending debate. It's because it comes down to politics, religion, sports. I mean, all these things are just this intertwined beast, this dirty monster. I do think they should pay those fucking kids.
I think there's a cap and a range, and this is what you get.
Sure.
There has to be some money there.
And also, then it also sets them up to start learning how to spend fucking money. I mean, holy shit, dude. You're talking about going from, as a college kid, with a job, a side gig, you know, making a couple grand a year, you know, whatever.
To then millions?
I mean, how wouldn't that be a bad thing? That's a bad thing, dude.
Do you remember Hard Knocks?
Oh, yeah, I love Hard Knocks.
All right, so the first one they did was the Ravens.
This was
right after we won the Super Bowl.
I remember it.
And I remember they did have a woman come in, and she talked to, there were different people, and I think one lady talked to him about financial management and said that, like, you are about to have millions of dollars, and you think it's going to last forever, and I'm telling you, you're 23. It's not.
It's not. Yeah.
And your career might be over after this year if you break your leg, and all that's gone.
Right.
And then what do you fucking do? They also had a woman come in and teach them about female predators, which I was really blown away by.
About women that are looking to trap them?
To baby daddy them.
Tell the feminist movement about that. See what they fucking...
She was telling
them. That's not real.
She's like, you need to be careful where you go, who you associate with.
Yes.
You know, all that stuff.
Fuck yes.
You know, watch your drinks. All these kinds of things, too.
Female predators. That's the name of my next album, by the way.
They are... You know, they attack you in a different way. They're not going to physically assault you, but they're definitely going to try.
They're going to entrap you with the pussy.
That's it.
They entrap me with the pussy.
That's it. Entrap you.
Yeah,
with the pussy.
I mean, that's a real thing. Whether or not people even want to talk about it, it's just one of those things. That's like the amount of women that try to fucking trap athletes because they know that's a great way to, if they get knocked up, then they got a kid.
Even if it doesn't work out, I got a paycheck for this kid.
It's nuts.
Done.
That shit.
And
is
if
nuts.
I'm lucky, I could live off that.
Fuck yeah. People think because you're a woman that you're devoid of being a bad person. That annoys me the most.
That's the, you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
You are not.
Yeah,
that's
you're
why
not.
Y'all lead in heart attacks.
Yeah. Women are just as bad as men. We are all, people are bad. There are good people and bad people.
That's it.
We're all mixed in the fucking, we're all together in this thing. I just think that's a real ass thing. What's his name, Mom?
Look, inherently, I do believe women are absolutely better than men. The good women, I believe, are even
better than the good men. Yeah, that's probably true.
I believe that.
But.
I believe
there are some bad women. There's some motherfucker.
Shitty fucking women.
Yeah, there's some shitty dudes and some shitty women.
Some shitty dudes.
Don't forget. Women, yeah. Wait, that's like what's his name from Hard Knocks? Who had like 12 kids?
He couldn't remember him.
Yeah,
Revis.
Yeah, no, Cromartie.
Cromartie.
Yeah, Antonio Cromartie. Yeah, he had 12 kids with 10 different women or something. My favorite thing was he's naming off the kids and he goes Darius, Damar. Well, which one? I don't know which one came. And at some point he goes. He's six, and the other one almost six.
It's like,
dude, he was, but he this motherfucker had super sperm. I mean, it was legitimately, I think it was six different women or
something.
That's the
other thing, though. You think you're going to get this athlete and you're going to have a bit, and then you're like, how many? Wait, he's got nine more kids now? Yeah, your cut's getting smaller.
Yeah,
your cut's getting smaller.
Yeah, you better go lock it down.
Yep.
That's you better go try to sneak in there. You're dwindling that whole fucking thing. That's a thing you see in athletes that never ceases to amaze me is how many times they're willing. I've said this before on this podcast. I'll say it again. If I ever was a manager or an owner or GM of a sports team, I would have in my fucking contract, that says if you try to get married while you're on my team, You're out.
Derek Jeter did it the right way.
Yeah, dude.
Derek Jeter did
you,
it the right way.
You go
way.
Float around, do what you got to do, put a bag on it, pull it out, do whatever you got to do. Do not try to get in this weird marriage relationship. I feel like when
get married when you're 35.
When you're done. Yep. When you retire at 32.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Always blows my mind. When they get fucking married young, get tied up, and then what happens is they're married and they're on the road and they get pussy on the road and something. And, you know, all these, it just, you see a windfall of a career flush. It's what happened to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods should have been a bachelor. Why can't he be a bachelor golfer? He should have been a bachelor golfer his whole life. You know?
Pussy ruined Tiger Woods.
Pussy ruined the best golfer of all time.
Yep,
yeah. Yeah. Ruined. Now he's back, though. He's kicking ass. It's just still got to be a hard label to scratch. You know what I mean? Think about every girl he dates and just hangs out with. She's like, so how many was it? Like, it's got to be in the back of her head. How many bitches are you fucking
gotta
right
be
now?
In the
he's
front
like,
of
I'm changed.
Head. I'm changed.
I'm changed. You hear his phone.
Yeah. All the time. Buzzing, dinging. Yeah.
I'm a changed man. Dude, I love you. I'm so happy that you came through. This is fucking incredible.
Thank you for having me, man.
We're going to put everything down below in the description. RyanSickler.com.
Mm-hmm.
Please listen to the Honeydew podcast. You can grab that on the Your Mom's House Network. Also, we'll put that in the description. But if you're dumb, you don't know how to figure that out. It always amazes me when somebody's like, how can I find out what cities you're going to? I'm like, my website. If you just type in my name and tour or like tickets, or it's like when people ask that stuff, I'm always like, how do you not? This is the easiest thing. I think people want it so easy. You're like, it already is. Like, what do you want me to fucking call you with dates? I'm going to call you personally. I go, hey, Dan.
Here's what show can you make?
Listen, I'm coming to Baltimore on June 8th. Yeah.
You can't make the 8th.
Oh, okay, hold on. Let me change it. Hold on.
I got two
on
the 9th.
Go to RyanSickler.com. Listen to his podcast. It's incredible. I did it a couple months ago. You always have phenomenal guests. The Honey Dizzou with a great intro. Sexy woman's voice. Whose voice is that?
That's Carlotta Wood.
That's a sexy voice.
One of the
voice.
First friends I made when I worked at this hotel back in the day. And I told her, I had her come on and do an episode because her story is amazing. And she's not in the industry or anything like that. Just a regular
good human.
And she worked PBX. She worked the phones at this hotel, and it was a Beverly Hills hotel, so we're all dressed up and shit. And I told her, I heard her voice before I saw her, and I was already like, pfft. And I told her back then,
yeah, she had a nice
20
voice.
Years ago, 21 years ago, I'm going to use you in something someday, I promise you. And it'd be 5-6 years, then we'd connect, hello a little bit, whatever, a couple years, hello a little bit. And then when I had this, I called her, I'm like, I'm ready to pay that fucking debt back.
That's great. Yeah. Carlotta Woods.
Carlotta Wood.
Wood.
Just one Wood.
Just one Wood, baby.
It's not Tiger Woods.
It's Carlotta
Wood.
Shout out to Carlotta Wood. Shout out to Ryan Sickler. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you for having me, bro.
I love you, man. What I do is I'm going to walk away. You get to say one word or one phrase directly into the camera, okay, to end us.
Oh, damn it. Cacahuates.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy.